Heavenly Father, we turn our cups up to you this morning. We ask that you would fill them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would break the bread of life to us, encourage our hearts, strengthen our souls, touch us, Lord, from the inside out. Lord, would you move us to action as we've heard this morning already? Lord, that our faith would have fruit. And Lord, that it wouldn't just be a dead faith, Lord, but it would be alive. And you could move in our hearts. So we trust ourselves to you here this morning. Use this weak vessel to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Welcome this morning. Good to have everyone here this morning. Thank you for joining us, visitors and all. There's a lot of things have passed through my mind in the last week, and so I was pondering the things that the Lord would have me to share here this morning, and I don't know that I have it all together here this morning, but just trusting that the Lord will meet our needs here this morning. Most of you know that with Lydia passing and so forth, we were over there most of the evening last night until midnight, so time was short and getting rest and so forth, so you can continue to pray on my behalf and some of those things. There was something that came to my mind as I was pondering the message here for this morning and so forth, and I wasn't sure where all the Lord would have me to go with it. One word that was fastened in my mind. And interestingly enough, then with Lydia's passing so suddenly last night, I think it just fits together. But as I was at the house last night, her body was still laying where it had fallen. The stark reality of death right before your eyes. No response to anything here in this life. I don't know if the rest of them noticed it. She had fallen there beside in the doorway beside the living, or in between the living room and the kitchen. The refrigerator was right there. And on the refrigerator, basically above her, was written, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What a stark reminder to see that. Not saying she was living in sin, I'm just saying that's the wages of sin, is death. Sin came upon all man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What she has done and been in life is now ended. No more time to prepare for eternity. She's in eternity, where the soul of man never dies. 1 minute, she was here. She was talking. Next minute, she was gone. Into eternity to await judgment for the things that she did with her short life of 65 years. What am I doing with my time? Am I preparing for eternity? Sometimes we think we have many, many years ahead of us. We're young. Our time surely isn't up or about to expire, but we have no idea. Just as Lydia had no idea. When we're older, we sort of expect it, right? When we're older, we're sort of expecting it. We don't usually think about that today is my day or could be my day. What am I doing with my time? Am I preparing for eternity? And am I preparing for my appointed time? These are questions that go through my mind at times like that. Am I clear with God and my fellow man if I dropped over? Am I clear with God? Or are there things that are hidden, tucked away in my heart? Yes, I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I have things tucked away in my heart. And I know if I dropped over, it would not be so well with my soul. Those are good things for us to think about. While they're sobering things, it's good for us to ponder questions like that. The sobriety of death, I think, is good for us to let it have its full impact upon us. Hell is a place for those who don't take life seriously and don't prepare to meet God. They live with sin in their lives and do nothing about it. On the other hand, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. This past week I was thinking, I don't know what triggered all those thoughts, maybe the widow's lunch and those who have gone on before. I was thinking about our brother Raymond, about Brother Monroe, different ones who have went on before us. Other loved ones who've passed on. Probably a lot of us have had loved ones who've passed on before us. Parents, uncles, aunts. And you know, we miss them, don't we? We miss them. They've been gone from us for some time, but we miss them. And maybe we feel within our hearts a longing to be with them. Someday, to be with them. Here's the word that came to mind, and I just used it as the title. Homesick. Homesick. Are you longing to be and to go there? I think all of us desire to one day spend eternity in heaven. I think your interest in being here today shows that you're interested in going to heaven. But why are you interested in going to heaven? A poem I came across, I thought it was something for us to consider. I'm homesick for heaven. It seems I can't wait, yearning to enter Zion's pearly gates. There, never a heartache, never a care. I long for my home over there. So dear to my heart is the promise of God, a home with the pure and the blessed, where earth, weary pilgrims, strangers here below, will find their eternal rest. The greatest of all is the thought that enthralls, that I shall behold my King, rejoice in His presence, revel in His grace, and ever His praises sing. Homesickness, what is it? Some of us know that our brother Joshua is over in Zanzibar and he's faced some homesickness. If we could put a few terms and few words there, I think most of us, or some of us maybe, have know a little bit what it's like to have some homesickness physically. In this life, have some homesickness. You've been away. You've went somewhere else. And there's this feeling of homesickness. You just desire to be at home. You just desire to go home. There's certain things that happen within your heart. Maybe it's the desire to be with those who you love, your family. Maybe it's the desire to once again see familiar faces or to hear your own language if you're in another country. Things like this. Homesickness. I'm sure he could tell us, Joshua could probably tell us more in detail what that feels like, homesickness. When he thinks about home, and I thought about homesickness, we're not in our own country. Brothers and sisters, we're not home yet. We're not in our home country. Sometimes we forget that. And we get so used to the daily things of life that somehow we just kind of feel comfortable here. But we're not home yet. We're not in our own country. There should be a longing within us. Maybe to go to those who've gone before, those who we love. To see those familiar faces we haven't seen for a long time. Hebrews 13, verse 14 says this, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We're only here temporarily. We're only here temporarily." Is that something new to you? Probably not. We know that, but we forget. We forget those things and need reminded that we're only here temporarily. And while we've never been to heaven, right? None of us. We've never been there. So how does this homesickness work? Well, what I'm referring to is more than just a country, a place. I'm referring to those who we love, who are there. Not so much the country itself. And yet, what heaven contains draws our hearts toward it. Or at least it should. It should draw our hearts toward it. I guess my desire this morning is, if you're not homesick, I'd like to make you homesick. So that we desire after those things. Because as we desire to go home, I trust we'll also look into our own hearts. Say, am I ready to go there? Am I prepared to go there, and what does it take? And maybe your thoughts have already been going this way, but I'd like to have your input this morning as to what are those things in heaven that draw, that have this draw in our hearts. That's why we want to go there. Maybe there's multiple things. But I just like to make a little list up here so we can visualize what are those things in heaven that would draw us to that place. Anyone, start rattling them off. Okay, it's fine. No flesh and blood there. Fullness of love and joy. Sorry. Jesus will be there. Sin will not be there. Let's just do it this way. No sin there.
No tears.
No tomorrows. No tomorrows, no yesterdays, unity. Singing will be there.
Holiness and righteousness.
Holiness. Love will be there.
Harmony
will be there. Kind of goes along with unity, doesn't it? And that goes along with singing, doesn't it? Praise. Worship.
Perfect peace.
Perfect peace. Light will be there. Light will be there. Does that... You know, we love when the sun shines. We've had a lot of clouds. No night. There'll be light there. And there'll be no night, the Bible says.
Evidence of salvation.
Loss?
Lots of good gold.
Lots of good gold. On the streets.
Fresh fruit every month.
The redeemed. Yes. Redeemed will be there. We'll have new bodies. There's something else new, too. You'll have a new name, too. The fullness of God. And the list could go on. The list could go on. Are you homesick? Are you homesick for that place? Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore."
Heaven is where God is. Heaven is where God is. I just have a number of points here this morning. But heaven is where God is. As I think about heaven, well, you know, we could elaborate lots on maybe the streets of gold, and no one mentioned mansions here, but the Bible does talk about mansions there as well. And while we could talk about those things and make it all glorious, you know, surely that would be the craving and the desire of our heart to go there. That would be enough, wouldn't it? There's no amens on that one. Excuse me. There's something much, much deeper than mansions and streets of gold. There's something much, much greater than that, that I would want to go there. If there was no mansions, if there was no streets of gold, and yet, if there was many of these things right here, I'd want to go. And most of all, if the King of Glory is there, if that's not the motivation of our heart, we probably need to check our lives again to see where are our values. God is there. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. He says these words there. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their gods." And he goes on to say, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." No more of this just falling over and it's over. Nothing like that. "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God himself shall be with them." God is there. That's a good motivation to become homesick, because God is there. And we want to see him one day. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said in Matthew, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There are many in our day who don't want to think about God. They don't want to think about God. Maybe they say there is no God. Or maybe they don't say that, but they just say, well, I'm very neutral on the subject. And yet, you find that when death strikes, why is it? I've wondered this. Why is it that practically in every funeral, I don't care how the person lived, somehow we want to think that somehow they're in heaven? Somehow they made it. And while we're not the judge, I agree with that. And I don't think we need to judge all that. And yet I think we need to face reality. Not everyone made it. Not everyone makes it. But God has a people. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their gods. That's reason enough to become homesick. That's point number one. Let's turn to John 14. This is just broadening this aspect here. In John 14, verse 1, says, Jesus said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God?" Do you have faith in God? "Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I don't know what all that Jesus had in mind when he said those words, but there's different times that those words have comforted me. Because there are people today that say, well, there's only 144,000 people that are going to enter into heaven. But my Lord Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He said, "And if I go," in verse 3, "and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Point number 2 is that as we're homesick for heaven, we're homesick because Jesus is there. And he will be there. Jesus said, "Where I am, there ye may be also." Maybe this never crossed your mind. Maybe it did. I think I've said it before here. But I believe only those who are really in love with Jesus will be there. If you're not in love with Jesus Christ, you're going to feel totally out of place. And I had to think about, you know, we use the term, and the Bible uses the term, that the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Think with me about a courting couple. Think with me about a courting couple. And as they start their courtship, there's an attraction to each other. And that attraction toward each other, as they build a relationship and share their hearts one with another, their visions, their goals, their purposes in life, and the things that they feel like God has laid on their heart to move forward towards, and as they share those things together, their hearts become closer and closer, and they become what we call in love. May not have started that way, but that's where it's leading. And at a certain point, it seems that their hearts are close enough together, their visions are the same, and they desire to spend life together. And he gets down on his knees, and he asks her whether she would be willing to do that. Spend life together. Now, I'd like to take that picture and point it to ourselves in light of Christ, the bride of Christ. We, the bride of Christ, he is the bridegroom. He's on his knee, could we say, and he's asking us. I'd like to say that personally for myself, for each one of us. Do you love me? Do you want to spend all eternity with me? Or do you love yourself, your goals, your ambitions, your desires? You know, those are just inward questions we need to ask ourselves. In our life, you see, our life proves some of these things to us, doesn't it? It proves where our affection and our love is. The things that we pursue after. Does it portray, I'm in love with him? I'm in love with the Lord Jesus. Jesus will be there. John 17, that was Jesus' prayer before he left this earth to be again with his Father. In John 17, verse 24, he says this, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Not only do we long to be with him, but he longs to be with us. So much so that he prayed this prayer to God. "I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me." Be with me where I am. It should thrill our hearts. It should excite us. He's our lover. He wants us. Do we want him? Are we that in love with him? Thirdly, heaven is filled with praise and worship to God and to the Lamb, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Revelation. Just like to read a few verses there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8 through 11. It says, "And the four beasts," this is a picture of what's going on in heaven, "and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And then let's drop in chapter 5, verse 11. It says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I don't know if you have ever heard a multitude of people together in unison voicing something. We could practice that a little this morning. Maybe we could get just a little glimpse. Let's say verse 12 together. Chapter 5, verse 12. "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now that wasn't with a loud voice. If we would double that volume, and we won't try that, but you get the picture? From the depth of their hearts, I believe, that was coming. "And of every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Are you homesick for that place that is filled with worship and glory and honor to our great Creator? First of all, God himself. And I think Jesus himself is under God's, because he wants God to be at the top. But also there is worship because of the Lamb. Had it not been for the Lamb that was slain, you and I would not see God. We would not get to spend eternity with God. or with the Lord Jesus had it not been that he paid the penalty of sin and death for us. Heaven is filled with praise and worship to God and to the Lamb. Do you know that praise and worship starts here? Again, just like a courtship, hearts drawing together. Just like that, our hearts should be drawing together towards our Creator, towards our Redeemer. If it's not doing that, there's something amiss, just like it would be in a courtship, right? If the heart isn't coming together, maybe one heart is coming, the other one is going. Do you follow my train of thought? God wants us to be in love. That's the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all of our heart. What do you think it is? What do you think it is that we have a struggle? Could I call it a struggle with that first and greatest commandment? Why do you think that is? Man is made that we can only truly, supremely love one. And there is but one true God. Man is made to love one supremely. And when our affection goes to other things, that's why we have that struggle, is because our affection is somewhere else and not on God. But he wants us to be incorporating this praise and worship and glory and honor right now in our lives for his glory, for his praise. Are you homesick for that? Number four, for those, Jesus is coming back for those who love his appearing. Again, just building on that same thought, we love him. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you just love the idea that Jesus Christ is coming back? And we just can't wait for that time when our love, when our Redeemer, when our salvation, when our hope is coming back. And he's going to take us home to be with him. Does that excite us? Or does that cause dread in our hearts? When we're in love with him, it excites us. Just like it does when Jeremy wants to go see Susan. You know, it's exciting. We're so glad to be together. For those who love his appearing, he's coming back again. Psalm 69, verse 34 and 36 through 36. Let the heaven and the earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, that's the church, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it. And they that love his name shall dwell therein. And the last point that I have on being homesick. We have two examples of this in Scripture. The first one is here in Revelation. John in chapter 22, verse 20, he says these words. After he had finished the revelation that God had given to him, says, "He which testifieth these things saith," and these words are written in red, "Surely I come quickly." Amen, John says. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm homesick for you. Come, was the panting and desire of his heart. In 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is. I didn't write the chapter down here. I think that's where it is. Second Corinthians 5 in verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Do you see any homesickness there? When the Apostle Paul is writing these words, "We groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon with that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we were at home, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That's that homesickness. We want to be rid of this earthly tabernacle where there's no flesh and blood. There's no more temptation. There's no more of this bent towards sin. But we're free in Christ Jesus. And we are enter into those gates with a joy in our hearts to be in the presence of the Lamb and the great Creator, God Himself. He says here in verse 9, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Whether we're boom, dead, or whether we're still alive in this flesh, we labor that we be accepted of Him, that we have a clear slate. That we're ready to meet Him. He says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." 10 out of 10 people still die. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Paul had an intense longing to be present with the Lord. How is our longing? How is our homesickness? Is there that intense longing and a homesickness in our own hearts to be with the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you homesick this morning? I'd like if we could maybe just spend the next maybe 15 minutes just singing songs of heaven, songs of praise and worship to the Lamb that was slain. I think I'll have Brother Reuben come and lead us maybe for maybe close to quarter till. And we'll just sing and worship. And may it stir in us a longing. And maybe if there's things that are in our life that need to be cleared. The altar is always open. You can come and kneel up here and deal with those things in your life that are not the way they ought to be. Your love is not where it should be. We can deal with those things. Don't be ashamed. We're here to make preparation for eternity. One day it'll be too late. But we have breath. We have life today. If you hear God's voice, you know there's things that need cleared. Kneel up here. Seek the Lord. Pray as we worship our King. Let's start with 977.